When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is Believe in Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
Half-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod.
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel Truth.
What is up? It is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Also coming at you on Brinks TV. Joining me as always is my main man, Israel Troop. Israel, give me a hunting update.
What's going on? We have seen more big bucks going to school than I have in the woods recently. They're huge. Thank you for bringing the cold front this time. I really appreciate it because we're starting to move a little bit more. So we'll see. I might go before the SEC championship game starts on Saturday. So you never know what you might see.
There you go, man. We'll make sure you get some good pictures if you get a good one. So we got to see that. But anyway, we've got an action packed show. The coaching carousel is rocking and rolling. Some new updates since we last left each other, Israel, on Monday. So we'll talk about that a little bit, and we'll talk about the SEC championship as well. Our show is presented by betonline.ag. It is got all the latest odds. Israel, I just played a 12 team money line parlay for $10. And if I win, that's going to net me $2,600.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's big time.
I need to get in on this.
Yeah. So, if you go all of the, FBS games, that are available on Bet Online. There's about 12 of them right now. You can get in on that. Mm-hmm. Just go all money line, and you're good to go.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely about to get into that.
So, but to do that, you have to head to the new and updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Well, Israel, all of our social information is scrolling down below if you want to follow us. But joining us tonight are two very special guests from Tide Talk Sports. It is Jake Thomas. It is Stacy Blackwood coming in to talk SEC championship with us. We're welcoming them in our homes. Jake, Stacy, how goes it?
Man, what's up, Corey? How y'all doing?
We are great, man.
Hey, good. Yeah, thanks for having us, guys. We're glad to be here.
And if you recognize that man in the bottom right corner, that is Jake Thomas. Also, he joins me on SEC After Dark, and we chop it up on there. So we like to have fun. And if you recognize Stacy's name, It's because he's a regular in our chat. So glad to have you guys, man. Lots of things going on, lots of things to talk about. But Jake, you and I pre-show were discussing Brian Kelly to LSU and the latest with him. Man, it is, the culture fit was something we talked about. You know, it's not his coaching acumen that's gonna hold him back, but it's gonna be that cultural fit and whether or not only Baton Rouge, but will the team buy into him? Sounds like he took a step in the wrong direction today.
Yeah, I was just watching a video from that they had put out the day of him meeting with the players and a bunch of fans, and man, he was trying to use a Southern accent and it was awful. He said family. it's gonna be bad down there, I think. I mean, I just don't know. You know, you mentioned last night, Corey. How's he going to talk to these Cajuns down there? I mean, he ain't gonna understand one word they're gonna say, and they ain't gonna understand him.
He is a Yankee through and through, Israel, man. He's got he might have to bring back Coach O as an off the field assistant just to translate.
Man, let me tell you, I get asked all the time. I don't sound like how I look, especially when you listen to me on the radio. And I got asked today about Brian Kelly, and I said, the first thing when I heard him speak, he said to players that they just found out you're the head coach that I'm not here to win football games. So why the hell are you here? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Why they hire you? You know what I mean? But like you said,
champions of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, champions of life get you fired.
Yeah, ask Books Jones about that.
But I think coaching X's and O's, he knows it backwards and forwards. I think he'll be fine that way. But like you said, I think the culture and him being in Baton Rouge, and I think he first thing he's going to have to do is get people around him that are Southern, that have been either have ties to the SEC or know the background of that area, because if he doesn't, he's going to get run out of town simply because he can't interact with people or the players or boosters or anything like that, because like you said, he's been a Yankee all his whole entire life. And then you bring somebody like that to not South Georgia, but I mean to the South, to LSU. I mean, I don't think he can handle a 7 o'clock game in Tiger Stadium. I don't think he handled it.
No, I don't think so either. And Stacey, this seems so silly what I'm about to say, but I mean, it really is a big deal, especially in recruiting. What's going to happen when he walks into a recruit's house in middle of nowhere, Louisiana, and they're having crocodile gumbo? And it's spiced up to like, you're going to be breathing fire. Like what, like how's he going to react to that? I mean, he is as Yankee as it gets when it comes to all of that stuff. And like, he ain't never had anything like Cajun food probably. And so, you know, how big of a deal is that even?
That's what I'm thinking about the recruiting aspect of this is I can't really see Brian Kelly, you know, wading through the swamps of Louisiana to try to get some of these high profile recruits. And I don't see how he's, because recruiting is all about relationships. We all know that. I just don't see how he's going to be able to develop relationship with people that he has nothing in common with. So I'm not sure how he finds the common ground being where he's from. And I mean, it seemed like he was the perfect fit at Notre Dame. I don't know what happened there that made him want to leave. I guess money did. I don't know, but Notre Dame can pay. So I don't know. It's unusual both that LSU would go after him. Then also that Brian Kelly would even entertain coming to LSU simply because of the culture shock that it's going to be to him. And it's kind of like Brian Harsin going to Auburn last year. If Harsin hadn't surrounded himself with all the guys that he had on his coaching staff that are, you know, from this area of the country and have experience in this area of the country, like Mike Bobo and Derek Mason, who had been a coach at Vanderbilt, it might have been even worse for Auburn this season. So I'm not sure Brian Kelly's going to have a very long stay in Baton Rouge.
Well, we'll see who he hires. It's going to be interesting, but not off to a good start. For him to even get to the coaching part of it, he's going to have to do some relationship building and not try to make some phony accents. But looking at Football Scoop, it looks like some shocking news coming out of Virginia, not to go believe in ACC here on you, but Bronco Mendenhall, who had done a tremendous job building up a Virginia program from literally the ground. He's going to step down after the bowl game. Not sure why, but that one opens up. Not saying they're going to make a huge splash in their hire, but I mean, I think when you look at Israel, what Dan Lanning, the prospects of him, I mean, he becomes an interesting candidate in a lot of these jobs, like Virginia, even Oklahoma, he's an interesting candidate there. Although I think ultimately they probably go with Venables, but do you think Lanning goes for that?
If I was him, I would. Virginia was a baseball school. That's where I remember Virginia for. They were a baseball school. Then over the years, Broncos done a great job of making them relevant in the ACC. Taking teams to the wire, being prime time, things like that. So I think it's a very, very good job. I think it's a very good stepping stone job to start with the ACC being the ACC that it is now. I think it'd be a good job bringing in the new face, bringing in the right pieces to make that thing work. But at the same time, with everybody making such big splash hires, although Dan Lanning would be the top of my list of guys to go after, I don't think Virginia try to go after him. I think they're going to try to make a big splash for somebody who's got fired about 2 years ago. Somebody like Bill O'Brien. That's what I think they would probably go after.
Don't do that, Virginia. Don't do that. You're better than that. But I know these two. I know these two right down here would love that.
Yes. I know they would. That's why I said that. I know
they would. they were crossing their fingers. Virginia Tech. It was down to Bill O'Brien and Brent Pry, and ultimately they went with Brent Pry. What do you guys think about that hire? Former Vandy defensive coordinator, been a longtime James Franklin assistant.
I love it. I think he's paid his dues. I think that's a great job for him. You got to think the Hokies are very defensive minded. Right now, he needs to get him a good offensive coordinator. And I think with his mindset and what they've already been able to establish defensively, you get a good offense, you'll be fine.
Absolutely. Stacy, Jake.
Yeah. I think I'm with Israel there. He paid his dues. It's time for him to get a good job. But we talk about all these head coaching hires, and I think all of us know this. It's really about who they hire to support them and to lead their offense, to lead their defense, their special teams, and their player personnel. The coaching staff is really, kind of what makes or breaks a tenure as a head coach. So it's about making the right hires once, because all these guys can coach football. If we're being honest, there's not a guy in college football right now that can't coach. But can he lead an organization? And I think that's what guys like at the top of their game, like Kirby and Nick and all these great coaches. That's what they do. They're leaders of their organization. They allow their coaches, their assistants to coach the team. And so that's going to be big for all these new hires. So it's just about finding the right assistants.
Absolutely. And some other interesting, as far as the coordinators for our respective teams that we are fans of and universities and things like that. It would seem that Colorado State has opened back up. Steve Adazio is gone. Fresno State is still looking for somebody. Auburn is zeroing in on their offensive coordinator to replace Mike Bobo. I think they're looking at Zach Hill from Arizona State. And Israel, I'm sorry to report this. I really hate it for you, but Graceland College, NAIA in Iowa, is no longer accepting applications for head coach.
And I'm so disappointed. Me and the wife talked about it last night. We were really hoping to get that job. Dagnabbit.
I know. I mean, it's cold 7 months out of the year there, probably.
Nah, so. Cuz I'm good.
Middle of nowhere, Iowa. Well, That's going to wrap our coaching carousel talk for.
Is there anywhere in Iowa that's not in the middle of nowhere?
I mean, you do speak some truth there. You do speak some truth. Maybe Iowa City, but still, that might be in the middle of nowhere too. So who knows? I don't know. But that's your football scoop report. The coaching carousel just ever so spins. Troy is John Summerall is going to be the next coach of the Troy Trojans. Let's see where he's from before we. I know ADD Radio is blazing. He's Kentucky's co-defensive coordinator and inside linebackers coach, John Summerall. He's going to Troy. So anyway, well, let's talk about the reason why you guys are actually here. I know you guys aren't here to talk about LSU's hiring of Brian Kelly and the fact that he hates gumbo and is not going to eat all the weird stuff that you eat in the bayou. There's a game happening this weekend, 3:00 CBS, Mercedes-Benz Dome. The number one Georgia Bulldogs take on the number two Alabama Crimson Tide. Jake, you and I went at length, so we're going to let Stacy and Israel do most of the heavy lifting tonight. Stacy, on a scale of 1 to 10, with about, I don't know, a minute and 7 seconds left in the ball game, how nervous were you that Auburn was going to take that Iron Bowl? Be honest.
Well, once we got the ball back, well, when they stopped them on fourth down and made them punt, up until they punted inside the 5-yard line again for like the 30th time in the game, I was like, hey, we got the ball with Bryce Young. There's a chance. But once I saw they were going to have to go 97 yards, I was like, that's going to be pretty tough. But, you know, I'm glad the players don't think like some of us fans do. So, but yeah, just being honest, it wasn't looking too good for the Tide. But you know, that's why you keep playing. It's a 60-minute game for a reason. So you don't quit till the clock hits zero. And you know, I'm glad the players kept fighting. You know, they never lost focus in the game. They never, you know, looked like they were, you know, beaten up, or you know, they were playing like they were, you know, poor, pitiful me. They just kept playing. And props to the defense for keeping them in the game and allowing the offense, you know, to later come along in the contest and win it for them there in overtime, four overtime. So
now Coach Troop, put your coaching visor on for a second. All right. You're the head coach at Auburn University. You have a lead on Alabama. And pressure has been working just about all night. You've been tattooing Bryce Young. You've been getting to him, rattling him, making him see the rush. You're in his head a little bit, unforced errors, things like that. Are you going to ratchet up the heat, or are you going to play more of a prevent, keep everything in front of you?
We actually had this conversation today with our with my defensive coordinator. I told him that Auburn is the stupidest team I've ever seen in my whole entire life. First of all, what made them even get the ball back, the play call, I get it. I understand what you thought things we should have done, but you understand he's still young. I mean, you know, he's trying to get yards, he's even fighting his way out of bounds. You kick the ball off, I think they got about the 15, something like that, and you play prevent and rush three. You hadn't played too hot all night long, which you've brought pressure, you've played man, you've played zone, kind of disguised everything, but you haven't played off and too hot the whole entire night. But you wait with a minute and some change left to play two man against Mechie and all them horses he got and give Bryce Young all day throw the ball. You're an idiot. You deserve to lose that game.
Yeah.
Now, you should have won after the, I think it's the second or third overtime, whichever one it was, but you put number 23, who's a liability, out there again on Mechie, and what does he do? Make him look stupid. So some very bad, questionable calls, but you got to think you lost that game in a minute and like 10 seconds, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You let this man drive 90 something or 85 yards for a touchdown in a minute and 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. And they worked the sideline.
Exactly.
That's the crazy part.
I mean, they had the sideline all day long, and they allowed Bryce Young to be able to climb the pocket and deliver the ball downfield. I mean, Ja'Cory Brooks had a big night just in that last series. Billingsley had that huge catch on 4th and 7 where Auburn had a glimmer of hope. Mechie with that outstanding whip route or pivot route or whatever you guys call that. I call it a whip route myself, but
it was a great whip route.
Just broke him off. And it was a thing of beauty on that. But you know, offensively for Alabama, coming into this game, to me, you know, they've got some things to fix in the run game. I think them not being able to run and sustain a running game is unacceptable for Alabama to be able to do. I mean, they've been able to run at will on teams, and now you've got some guys banged up, obviously, but still, I mean, Trey Sanders is not a slappy. He's a, you know, former high 4-star, 5-star kid. I can't remember exactly what his recruiting ranking was, but it was pretty high nonetheless. And so for them not to be able to run the ball and run the ball consistently, I just don't get it. It just seems very clunky, very discombobulated with Bill O'Brien, almost like he's just reading off a page and just choosing, okay, it's 2nd and 7. Okay, I'm a robot. I'm going to go with, all right, here's my second play call. Twins right, deuce, 17 zone. And he just reading it, not even really watching the game, not even really getting the flow of the game.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly what I was going to ask. What do you guys think about? He's completely abandoned the run. And you can see that. It's all against Auburn. You see it from game to game, depending on how the game flow is going. He'll completely abandon the run, which us coordinators are all guilty of from time to time. But when you're coming from Bama, you have really good tight ends. You got great running backs, play action, things like that, that Alabama does well. He just abandons the run, just straight up just says, I'm not going to run the ball anymore.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the biggest complaints of the entire season from the Alabama fan base is the, you know, unwillingness to just really commit to the running game to Brian Robinson and Trey Sanders. And, you know, like Corey mentioned, there's three or four guys that are out for the entire year with injuries in the running back room. So that hasn't helped either. But the fact, I mean, Ole Miss is like the only game that Brian Robinson was really just fed. I mean, I think he had nearly 40 carries in that game, and you saw how Alabama was able to handle Ole Miss in that contest. That was really a big factor in that game. So that's been a big frustration from us Alabama fans on Bill O'Brien. Corey, I'm with you. Bill O'Brien lacks imagination on offense. There's no creativity. It's very by the book. It's almost robotic, like you said. I'm glad you put it that way. That's really how it seems like. It's clunky. There's no adjustments made. It's just it's 3rd and 4. This is my play call on 3rd and 4, regardless of how the game flow has kind of made out throughout the contest. So it's been really frustrating to watch. Now, with that said, we're still a top 10 offense in the country, but I think that has a lot more to do with the dudes on the field than it does with the coaching or the play calling.
I want to take a second to talk about our new sponsor, Lightbox. Say goodbye to dull gifts. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gifts of the year. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality of lab-grown diamonds you can find at a light price, $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but are just grown in a lab. Because of their process, you can create stones in blush, pink, and beautiful blue, as well as classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift that you'll never want to take off, priced so that you won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. So visit lightboxjewelry.com to add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamonds, never a dull moment. Now, from y'all's perspective, how do you attack? Hey, how do you attack Georgia from y'all's perspective?
I think Jake, I'd hate to cut you off, Jake, but I think you need to go. I think Alabama needs to be up tempo, and I think Alabama needs to be willing to take. I know this is such a cliche statement. Take what the defense gives you. Don't try to beat Georgia in one play, because you're not going to beat them in one play. It's a 60-minute contest, and I think Bill O'Brien, like I mentioned, he's got to be a little more you know, creative in his play calling. It can't be so scripted or so robotic, like you said. It's just, you got to attack Georgia in multiple ways because they're an elite defense at all three levels. So you have to be willing to take what they give you, but then you have to play. So you do have to be aggressive in some aspect. You're going to have to take some deep shots because you're not going to be able to march down the field, you know, in 10 or 12 play drives against this defense. So take your shots when they're available, hit the shots when they're there. So it's about playing tempo and then executing on offense. And obviously it's going to come down to the offensive line as well, which has really been a big question mark all season long.
Yeah, no doubt. Jake, I mean, is that pretty spot on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really think that we need to try to establish some kind of run early, you know, just to keep you guys off balance. And maybe, you know, if we're having some success, y'all will pull those safeties up just a little bit, and then we can hit J-Mo over the top, you know, because he is our deep threat. And if you leave him one-on-one, he's going to get past, you know, a corner or a safety. So, you know, I do think we need to go up tempo though a little bit, do some quick slants, and if they stop them, then so be it. You know, but it's gonna be a challenge to, like Stacy said, to get up and down, you know, in 10 to 12 play drives against this defense.
You know, Alabama hadn't really done a lot of RPO, you know, like they've seen with Tua at quarterback that was so successful.
Yeah.
There's been far less RPOs with Bryce Young, and that's a little bit surprising to me. It seems like he would kind of be, he's in that mold of that type of player, like a Tua, as far as his ability to get the ball out quick and make plays that way. So that's been kind of surprising as well. So, and you know, who knows, Bill O'Brien may be, yeah, ready to pull something out of his sleeve this week, but he's obviously going to have to do something because this Georgia defense is elite of defenses there's been in, you know, the last decade in college football.
I mean, you're either elite or you're not. So from our perspective, Israel, when we're defending that Alabama offense, to me, I mean, you know, you got to treat Bryce Young the same way we treated Hendon Hooker, where we, you know, you lock up the receivers and you put heat on him and do not allow him to climb the pocket. You have to collapse the pocket from the middle and just force him to dance, to move around, almost like NFL teams scheme against Russell Wilson. You can't let him dance in the pocket because he'll dance and climb in the pocket, and then he'll uncork one. Next thing you know, you got Jameson Williams 60 yards downfield doing the touchdown dance.
if I'm the Georgia defense, I'm treating Bryce Young like we did Tennessee, like we did Hooker. Treat the receivers, you know, kind of how we did Arkansas, more of a bend but don't break, you know. But as you're bending, you got to understand at some point they're going to take it deep. You know, Bryce hadn't scared me running the football at all. And I think that's what you guys are alluding to with the RPO situation. Mm-hmm. Even with them not being able to run the ball with the running back, at least you can give them something to where the quarterback is using his legs. That's what Tua did well. That's what Hurst did well. That's what Blake did well. I mean, that's what all those guys that's come through that system have done well. And he had been used a lot, which, like you said, he may pull something out of his hat this Saturday. So you never know. But I hope he's not listening to this. But if I'm Georgia, I'm making sure that I'm spying him kind of like Bo Nix. So what do we do against Bo Nix? We kept him in the pocket. And when he did scramble, he was not able to get upfield. He was not able to climb the pocket. And that's one thing that Bryce does well. He climbs the pocket very well. His eyes are always downfield. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to take that away from him. Somebody's going to have to be in his face at all times. Whether you're blitzing, whether you're stunting, whether you're disguising anything, somebody's going to have to be in his face.
I mean, just
as a receiver.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think you just cut out there for a second. But, yeah, I mean, just – having to make just something simple as an off balance throw off his back foot, or just an out of you know, out of rhythm throw.
Mm-hmm. And then from the receiver standpoint, that's really who you have to stop. I'm giving you 3 yards cushion. That's it. If I give you five, like Jake said, you can run a quick slant, and we all know what happens when they run slants. They take those to the house. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at 3 yards, and I'm catching. I'm bailing. You know, just disguising things in the secondary. I'm not playing too high. because they find holes very well. Their receiving core is very, very good. If you play too high, they find the holes. So you got to mix some zone. If you want to play too high, you're going to have to disguise it. It's going to be a lot of cat and mouse, really. Right. If you study Alabama, you know you can't outcoach yourself. Mm-mm. And that's what we've done against them year in, year out. We're up and we're beating them, and then we outcoach ourselves. So in this game, it's going to be, you know, play ball. You know, like Kirby says, you're either elite or you're not. Well, this is where we're going to find out how elite Georgia is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think, you know, Israel, you hit the nail on the head, man. Just we have to keep the pressure up. We have to, and not only on the quarterback, but on these receivers too. I mean, they've got to be able to, we've got to force them to make contested catches all night long. It's got to be catch, hit on the ground, or if it's not broken up. I mean, we've got to harass these guys and make life difficult for them. And you know, I think our cornerbacks can do that. Kendrick and Ringo are two of the best in the country. But you know, the one player I worry about, Israel, and you know what I'm about to say. We talk about him.
I told our DB coach he's a huge Georgia fan as well. And I said, there's one player that scares me, and we both said his name at the same time.
Latavius Breeny.
Mr. Breeny, you are correct.
Number 36.
If I'm Alabama, that's who I'm attacking, number 36.
I'm circling 36, and I'm running out routes and whip routes on him all freaking night long. I'm putting Jahlil Billingsley on him, and it's on.
I'm glad you brought up Billingsley, because I think the tight ends for both teams could really be a major factor in this game. Brock Bowers is as good a tight end as there is in the country, and just as a freshman, and we know the talent that Billingsley and Latu both have. They haven't been utilized as much this season as most thought they would be, but I think each team's tight ends could play a pretty big role in this game.
Yeah. I haven't seen y'all's tight end put his hand in the dirt yet.
Yeah, it's why I don't understand the concept that we – I just don't get it. I have a lot of frustrations with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
I think Houston fans are laughing at y'all right now going, did y'all really take Bill O'Brien? I mean, Saban outdid himself on this one. You know,
yes,
the Saban mm-hmm. school of coaching. You know, you knew there was going to be one people that failed, right? There's always got to be one, right? So – On the tight end situation, I think for both teams, they just gotta find those mismatches, whether it's on Breeny or, you know, whoever y'all's version of Breeny is. You know, we've got to find that for Brock Bowers. And, you know, I think with the tight end matchup, you know, don't count out Darnell Washington. He is an X factor as well. I mean, he is, mm-hmm. he's a freaking NBA player sitting out there playing. And then John Fitzpatrick is good in his own right. So, I mean, you got three tight ends right there that can pack the mail. I mean, we've several times we've employed that bunch formation with 13 personnel where you have Fitzpatrick
to cover.
He's on the point. Then you have Darnell Washington and flanking them is Brock Bowers, and they run these breakout concepts from the bunch formation. And then you have Jermaine Burton or somebody else on the solo side over there. Man, it's tough to defend.
Hey, what's the status of Pickens?
He's cleared. I mean, he was limited, obviously, against Georgia Tech, Israel. I don't know if you're hearing any more than I am, and I expect him to be full go, right?
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, he's 100% ready to go. Him and Blaylock's about 90-95%. So I'm hearing both of those guys are going to play. Pinkins definitely is going to play, and Blaylock should be able to come in as well. We should be full go. That's what makes this game so exciting, more than others. You know, every time we meet up, somebody's either hurt or status is unknown, but I think everybody's pretty much going in, other than you couple of running backs for you guys, everybody's going in pretty much at full strength.
Yeah. Alabama may be without their starting center, Darian Dalcourt. He got hurt against LSU he tried to fight through it in the Iron Bowl, but he couldn't make it past halftime. And Saban pretty much told him and said, nobody's going to question your toughness, but you can't play right now. You're not playing well enough because of the injury. So
yeah,
he's still kind of day to day. So Alabama could be without the starting center, Darren Dalcourt, and Brian Robinson is still day to day as well. So it looks like it might be the Trey Sanders show for Alabama in the backfield. And he's the only, you know, pretty much 100% healthy running back for Alabama that's on scholarship.
Yeah. And Jalen Armour Davis is day to day.
Yeah, starting corner. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Kool-Aid come in and has done well, but, you know, I would rather have that experience there, you know, so I'm hoping he can play.
But, you know, I try to never, yeah, injuries are pretty tough right now, but man, you got to play with the dudes on the field. They're all on scholarship down there. I mean, no excuses when you go between them white lines. You got to buckle up and play. So, I mean, if you're not ready to play against the Georgia Bulldogs, maybe you don't need to be wearing that crimson and white. So, it's kind of the way I look at it. I know Georgia's got great players. Alabama's got great players, and there's plenty of guys that can play football. And it's injury. Sure, it would help if Alabama had a few more healthy running backs, maybe. But yeah. you play with the dudes you got, and made the best team win. That's kind of how I look at it. No excuses from the injury standpoint.
Yeah, no doubt at all. So, you know, Israel, I think the biggest question for us is what answer do we have for Will Anderson? Nicknamed the Terminator. he is one of the most disruptive players in the country. I think three of the most disruptive players in the country are on the field Saturday in the Mercedes-Benz Dome with Anderson, obviously Jordan Davis and Dakobe Dean. But, you know, how do you scheme to neutralize a guy like Will Anderson?
First thing I'm using is tempo. By using tempo, you kind of make him stay in one spot. No matter what hash you go to or how you tempo him, he can't really flip. So you kind of know, all right, he's on the right this time. If I tempo him, he's got to stay on the right. You know, secondly, like you said, well, we got 13 personnel, you got three tight ends on the field. Well, three of those guys can play receiver as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't have to change personnel, which means that Alabama can't change personnel, mm-hmm. which means he has to go where? To the weak side, which means now you've neutralized him to that side. Now you just move running back over there. Now you're one-on-one. Or you have anything to the outside if you want to throw out the screens that we do, quick game, anything that you have. Basically, have to manipulate the defense to do exactly what you want them to do. But their defense is predicated on what he does. You know, unlike our defense where you have seven guys you have to worry about, on their defense, unfortunately, this year, thank God for them, they only have one person you have to worry about on their defense. But he can pretty much control the game by himself. So, I mean, you just kind of got to maneuver around him and kind of figure out what he's doing, which he kind of tells you exactly what the secondary is doing too, no matter where he lines up.
Exactly. It's going to be a huge, huge game for Stetson Bennett. I think when you look at what he brings to the table, what he's brought to the table so far, I'm surprised, Israel, that he would get us this far. You know, I never knew that he was going to elevate to this level. I'm glad that he did. But this is going to be a huge monkey off his back if he can just get the ball down the field and just not make these catastrophic mistakes that he did the last time around against Alabama, where he had the lead at halftime and then all of a sudden, boom, two bad interceptions right there in the second half, and the game just goes back and swings in their favor. So, you know, for Stetson Bennett, you know, what are his big keys?
He's only has one for me, and that is, in the words of my old defensive coordinator, don't be dumb. He is very aggressive at times where he shouldn't be, makes the wrong read every once in a while, which is, you know, every quarterback does, but sometimes you're just like, Stetson, what the hell? Like, I know if I see the people just on TV or if I'm at the game and I see them, I know you see them. You know what I mean? So just don't be dumb. Is really it for me. Hit your check down. You don't have to be a hero. Punt, change field position. Because we've seen if you can play defense against Alabama, you can stop them.
Yeah.
And Bill O'Brien does allow you to do that. Fortunately for us, I mean, there's a lot of things going in our favor in this game. Somehow they're still 11-1 despite all of that. And that's that recruiting right there. That's, you know, Dan Mullen, if you're listening, that's why you recruit. So that when
early,
yeah, early. That's why you recruit early and often, because when you get a lemon as a coordinator, you don't have to, you know, you can win despite him because you have superior talent. For Stetson Bennett, don't be dumb. And just feed your guys. Take easy.
That's pretty good advice for anybody, really.
Yeah.
Being a coach, man, you hear so many zingers, man, and just a couple of them just stay with you. Mm-hmm. And that is one that stayed with me, you know, even in my coach career now. I tell my quarterback all the time, don't be dumb. Just take what they give you. Don't be dumb. He knows exactly what it means. I tell kids throughout school all the time, don't be dumb. And they know exactly what it means.
Yeah. Don't be dumb. Exactly. It's such sage advice. And do they listen? Not all the time.
Nah.
All right. So, well, our clock is ticking. So we're going to go ahead and get into a little bit of pick segment here. And Jake, thankfully for you, you've had a warm-up exercise at this, but we're going to pick some of these FBS games. Like I said before, you guys jumped on here. I took a 12-team parlay, all money line, so I didn't pick against any spread. So I just picked winners. So hopefully I go 12-0 on that. If I was bold and put 90 down, I would have won 21,000. But let me just risk $10 and we'll go from there. All right.
So can I say before you start that this is the first time that I've been excited to, I won't be able to watch them all, but at least record every single championship game that's being played. There are some great championship games on.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's one on Friday tomorrow. As we record on a Thursday night here, there is one. Well, when you're seeing this, there's one later on tonight, Oregon and Utah, the rematch. Utah just kicked the ever living, you know what, out of Oregon. The first time they played them. I mean, it was not even close. It was total bully ball. Kyle Whittingham's one of my favorite coaches in the country. Glad he's staying at Utah. Glad Utah's starting to have some success now. They may win their first Pac-12 title here. Utah is 2.5-point favorites, not a huge line. Oregon's still ranked ahead of them, solely by the virtue of two losses versus three losses. Israel, I'll start with you. How do you see this game?
Is this game being played at Levi Stadium?
Yes.
I got to go with Utah. For some reason, they have Oregon's number. Mm-hmm. And after that first game and just watching them completely just dismantle Oregon, they took everything away from them. They always say it's hard to beat a team twice, but if one team can do it, I think Utah can.
Jake?
Yeah.
Are you changing your mind?
My pick last night was Utah, and pretty much for the same reasons Israel just said. I mean, Utah absolutely dismantled Oregon, and I know adjustments will be made from Oregon, but Utah just got the number right now, it seems like. So I'm picking Utah.
Stacy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Utah as well. I'm with Israel. It's rare that teams beat an opponent twice in one season, but with the way that Utah beat Oregon, it just looks like they're the better team. So I'm going to go with Utah. Mm-hmm.
Israel, I didn't listen to you the first time. Learned my lesson. Going to listen to you now. Taking Utah. The first game, to quote a great philosopher, Eminem, it was a good old-fashioned, passionate ass-whooping where they got their shoes, clothes, and hat taken. So I'm taking the Utes here.
Sure was, boy. Ooh, that was, man, ugly.
It was brutal, man. Brutal. So we go down. This is the Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship from actually the Pac-12 Championship is from the Death Star in Las Vegas now.
Taking Utah, man.
Yeah, don't change anything really. But
they've been waiting to get away from that mountain.
Yeah, exactly. So Baylor takes on Okie State in Jerry's World. That's a noon Eastern kickoff. Israel.
After watching the OK State Oklahoma game and watching what Baylor did to Oklahoma, I'm going Baylor. I think they've run to have a good plan to stop Spencer, which is pretty much their whole entire offense. So I'm definitely going to go with Baylor on this one. I could be wrong, but I think I got a good feeling about Baylor in this one.
All right, Jake.
I can't remember who I picked last night in this game, but I think it was Oklahoma State, and I want to stick with that. Looks like they're probably one of the best teams in the Big 12, and they've already beat Baylor once, so I think the momentum is riding with Oklahoma State right now. I'm going to pick Oklahoma State.
Stacey.
I'm going to go with Baylor. I think that they're the overall better coach team, so I'm going to go with the Baylor Bears.
The Bears.
Top Bears. So for me, I think right now, conventional wisdom would probably have me go with the Bears in the rematch, but Spencer Sanders is red hot right now for Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. They are, again, they have a lot of momentum coming off of Bedlam, a huge win in their mind. You know, it's one of those, you know, it's kind of like it's been going the way of kind of like Georgia Tech, where, you know, Oklahoma, it's what they're supposed to do. Oklahoma State is their freaking Super Bowl. So they're riding high. They're hoping to get, you know, their first Big 12 championship in a long time. So,
and Gundy has been known to nut up in these type of games. Just keep that in mind.
That's true.
He has. But for the sake of my 12-team parlay, it's got to be the cow. How about them Cowboys? Come on, one time, Mike Gundy. One time. All right. The next one will take us out to Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California, home of the LA Galaxy, and also temporary home of the San Diego State Aztecs. It is the Mountain West Championship. They are 6-point favorites over Utah State, who got in over some crazy tiebreaker scenario. The Mountain West never fails as far as drama goes. Israel.
I'm going San Diego State. Those guys are playing some really good football. I got a chance to watch Utah State last week, and I was not impressed. So I'm going with San Diego in this one.
Jake?
Yeah, I'm going San Diego as well. They've been playing really well this year, and they're a really well-coached team. So I'm going to pick them to win this game.
Stacey?
San Diego State.
no explanation
about it.
Very matter-of-factly. Yeah, I like the way Brady Hoke's got him playing. I mean, this is probably the toughest they've been in a long time. They're such a physical team. They took it to Boise State last week and just kind of erased a lot of doubts there in my mind that I had of them previously. So give me the Aztecs. Next, we head down to Cajun Field, which will maybe soon be renamed Ed Orgeron Field. If they make this hire, come on, Louisiana, do not screw this up. Hire Edo. They host Appalachian State for the Fun Belt Championship. App State is 3-point favorites. Israel.
They're about to send Billy Napier out with a bang. I'm going to Louisiana in this one.
Yeah, I picked Louisiana last night on our show, and I think they are going to send Billy Napier out. They really respect the guy, and they're actually happy for him that he got a better job, and he left that program in great hands for the next guy. So I'm going with Louisiana off the yet.
Give me the Cajuns.
Well, dang. Okay, I'll be different again. I'm going with Vegas. Somebody's got to give Appy State some love. Right. Somebody's got to do it. I'll do it. All right. Give me Appy State. They're 3-point favorites somehow for a reason. I'm not sure how, but somehow. all right. Next on the list from Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio, the Bearcats are 10.5-point favorites over the Cougars of Houston. Can Luke Fickell get it done and secure his playoff spot, Israel?
I think he's going to. I think to put the icing on the cake and to solidify his spot, I think he has no choice but to win this game. You know, shout out to my man, Doug Bell. He's the defense coordinator at Houston. But I think Cincinnati is a little bit too much for him just because they have so much to play for. I'm taking the Bearcats in this one.
Jake?
I think Houston keep it close. You know, they had, I think they lost their first game against Texas Tech and they looked pretty bad, but they reeled off 11 straight wins and looked very dominant doing it. Cincinnati is really, really good. But, you know, I think Houston can cover the spread and keep it closer than 10, but I think overall Cincinnati's going to win.
Stacy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bearcats. Like Israel said, they're just playing for too much right now, a chance at the playoffs. So I'm going to go with Luke Fickell and the Bearcats.
Yeah, they're on a mission. And thankfully, I picked the money line, so it doesn't matter about the spread. But I do think they cover this thing. They win by 14. It's tight for a long time, and then they pull away late in the fourth quarter. Give me the Bearcats. I will agree with y'all this time. All right, next, Bank of America Stadium, Charlotte, 7 o'clock on ABC. Pitt takes on Wake Forest. This will be a fun game. Pitt is 3-point favorites against Wake Forest. So, you know, obviously Wake Forest can't stop a nosebleed, but they can score at will. Something's got to give in this game. Pitt plays pretty good defense. Kenny Pickett is great in his own right. I see a shootout. And that's going to affect my pick. And I'll tell you in a minute, but Israel, I'm going to let you take this one.
I'm going Pitt. I'm taking the better defense in this one. Watching Pitt play all year, their defense has really impressed me. And Pickett is a dang good quarterback. So I'm going with Pitt in this one.
Jake.
I picked Wake in our picks. I sent enough against Tennessee. Honestly, if Hendon Hooker was playing in that game against Tennessee, Pitt would have never won that game. That's just my personal opinion. And I think Wake's offense is, you know, been playing lots out here lately. So I'm going to go with Wake.
Stacy.
Give me the Pitt Panthers. I like Kenny Pickett. I like their defense. You know, Kenny Pickett's in his 10th year of eligibility there at Pittsburgh. So I think he's going to lead his is a senior adult Pittsburgh Panthers to an ACC championship.
Senior adult. It's a senior discounted IHOP.
Yeah.
He's been there so long. He's run the full cycle of Pitt uniforms all the way back to the Dan Marino specials.
Correct.
Absolutely.
But that's not going to be enough for him to win this one. They are favored by 3. I do think even if Wake Forest loses, they keep it close. I think this thing's going to get into a shootout, and Wake usually keeps those things close, if not win them. That's their game, so I'm going to take Wake Forest here. All right, our next game. We move to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, a game that seems way out of reach right now as we speak. Number 2 Michigan takes on number 13 Iowa. For the Big Ten championship. That was there was some high drama for that Big Ten West spot that Iowa ultimately took because Minnesota won Paul Bunyan's axe. Mm-hmm. To me, this one doesn't seem as close. Israel, I think I know who you're going to pick, but go ahead and give it to me.
I expect Michigan to beat the hell out of Iowa.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really do.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, do we have any? Is this going to be a clean sweep here?
Yeah, that's probably pretty consensus here.
Iowa has zero offense.
Yeah, that's true. I'm taking Iowa to get beat by 17 points or more.
Yeah,
that's just not hard at all. So that brings us last and certainly most. Mm-hmm. The SEC championship. You thought I was going to say Kennesaw State versus East Tennessee State for in the second round of the FCS playoffs.
Kennesaw State, go Owls.
There you go. Attaboy. Go Owls. I'm also going to say go Skyhawks. My team, UT Martin, shout out to Chris Polizzi, who is our recruiting coordinator for our area, for Metro Nashville. So, or for the mid-state at least. Anyway, Georgia takes on Alabama. We have discussed ad nauseum what needs to happen. Now we're going to predict what's going to happen. Georgia's 6.5-point favorites here. Israel, do the Dogs cover, or is it a tight one?
I like Alabama the 6.5 points. The 6.5 points seems very good for me, simply because it could go either way. These games, with the exception of last year, have been close to a touchdown or a field goal anyway. So I like the 6.5 points, but I'm taking the Dogs there.
go Dogs. Jake, what do you think?
Like I said last night, that's what it's going to be like all game long. It's going to be neck and neck battle. And and honestly, whoever can win in the trenches is going to have the advantage in this game. And, you know, it could go, it's going to be a close game and it could go either way. Like Israel said, Georgia can win by a field goal. Alabama can win by a field goal, but you know, I got to be a homer and pick Alabama, but it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a fun game.
There you go. Stacy.
Well, this is obviously the toughest matchup for either team of the season. And like Jake said, I would lose my Alabama fan card if I didn't pick the Tide. But just real quick, why I think Alabama is going to win. You know, generally when you get to championship games here, especially in the SEC or in the college football playoff, the team with the elite quarterback wins 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. I think, with all due respect to Stetson Bennett's a really good football player. He's done a really good job for this Georgia offense. He's got a fantastic story coming from a walk-on to where he's at now, leading the number one Bulldog team. But as far as elite quarterbacks, the elite quarterback in this game is Bryce Young. I think Alabama wins on a last-second field goal thanks to another late drive by Bryce Young, 24-23.
All right. I've done it all season. I'm going to continue to do it here. I like the Dogs 6.5. I think this defense is going to be too much to handle. I think it, like I said, it's going to be tight. Georgia's going to kick a field goal late to kind of as an insurance. And it's going to be, they're going to push it to about 10 points about midway through the fourth quarter. And that's going to kind of put those insurance points up and give them a little pad for them to close out the game and win the SEC championship. So give me the Dogs and the 6.5. So those picks went just about as I saw them. So it's all good, man.
Yeah, no surprises.
No, there's no surprises.
Yeah, but we had a big giant clock up here, and I think that thing hit triple zeros a long time ago. Courtney's probably burying her hands in her head, going, "What in the hell? These guys go over all the time." So. With that being said, that is going to wrap us up for tonight. Again, we thank you for watching. We thank you for listening, however you found us, however you stumbled upon us, whether it was on YouTube, the various Twitter accounts that we're echoing across, or Facebook accounts and all of that jazz. We thank you for finding us. Subscribe, comment, stick around, come back. Come back for seconds. So it's like Thanksgiving. You can never go to the buffet line too many times because this one will not run out. So our social information is scrolling across the bottom. Believe in Dogs on YouTube. Believe in Georgia Dogs on YouTube. You can subscribe to us there. Follow us on Twitter. Jake, Stacy, where can they find you guys?
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Just search for the Tide Talk podcast, and you'll find us there. You can find my Twitter at Blackwood89, and we really appreciate you having us on tonight to talk about this great matchup. And like I said earlier, may the best team win. I think it's going to be an epic matchup, like most Alabama and Georgia contests are.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. So that's awesome. And, you know, you can catch me. You can catch Jake and I on SEC After Dark, too, across.
Yeah, they get enough of Jake, man. He doesn't need another shameless plug.
Yeah, if I pump him up anymore, his head won't be able to fit in the frame.
That's barely in the screen now.
Hey, we got a treat for everybody on SEC West, or the SEC After Dark next week. It's just going to be me and Corey. So, you know, we're going to hold the fort down for
him. We are.
That should go over well.
It's gonna be great. Well, yeah. What do you think, man? Well, you know.
Yeah, you know.
It'd be like King of the Hill. We'll just be sitting there. Yep. It'll be fun. Steve will be on Space Mountain tweeting at us. I told him he's got to log into the show from Space Mountain, and we'll get Israel from the deer stand.
More than likely.
Live report from the deer stand.
Live report from the deer stand, or however you, I don't even know how do you hunt hogs when you go hog shooting.
We're actually going next weekend. It's at nighttime,
so
it's
going to
be lots of fun.
Do you just trudge through the woods and you see one and shoot it, or you know how do
oh,
you?
Oh no. No. You don't trudge anywhere when there's hogs around.
They are dangerous. They are very dangerous. Yeah.
Shows you how much I know about hunting, right?
No, we actually bait them up. They've been kind of tearing up stuff. So we're kind of baiting them up now, kind of getting them in a routine to where we can kind of get them out of there, because they've torn up two deer stands and things like that. So. I mean, deer feeders, not deer stands, but they're obnoxious little nasty little animals. But I'll let you know how that goes real soon.
There you go. Well, you should have dinner for quite some time.
So that my report from the deer stands.
You might see me doing sign language in between there.
He's like, Georgia, they did very well with Stetson Bennett throwing passes down the field.
He's throwing passes down the field. Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got me one.
Yeah.
Then he celebrates mid-sentence. Now that'd be fun. We got to do that. Live from the deer stand.
Well, this really went off the rails pretty quick, didn't it?
It did.
Usually how all of our shows do though, Corey, to be honest.
I mean, it just happened. So, that's going to do it for us.
I do want to say this too, before we leave. Stacey has the most perfect broadcasting voice I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, you should broadcast football games or be on the radio broadcasting or something. It's like, you have the perfect voice.
Man, I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you. I appreciate that, man.
My voice is the guy on the other side that just showed up to the game after a couple and just got a hot dog and some peanuts. It's like, yeah, man, I don't know what they're doing down there, but it looks good.
They're doing something, but that damn coach is an idiot, man. Fire
him. Sound like boom hire now.
Yeah, man. Come on now, buddy. Come on now, boy. All right, now we are officially off the rails. Courtney is probably shaking her head vigorously now, going, oh my god, these are my idiots. So check out the Tide Talk podcast, check out SEC After Dark, check out Israel and I on Beast of the East as well. And you can always check Israel and I out here each and every week on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. We thank you for listening. Thank you to our guests, Jake Thomas and Stacey Blackwood from the Tide Talk podcast. It was a pleasure to have you on, guys. And we'll see you back here next week. Hopefully SEC champs. Go Dogs. We'll see you back here next week.
Go Dogs.
This is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
All right, good job, guys. And yes, I was shaking my head. What in the
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.